Oh, so much going on. I just got stuff spread out all over. And I'm, you know, and I go back to what Liz Peek was talking about here. It's dishonest reporting. Whether we're talking about honestly covering the anti-Semitic remarks, comments, posts, and everything else of Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib, it's dishonest reporting when they say, well, Donald Trump's being anti-Semitic. You know that's not true. When I look at a headline saying hundreds of Michigan steelworkers being laid off, and I read the article, and it's less than 200, and it's temporary, that's dishonest reporting. And that leaves, well, if you're just somebody reading a headline, if you're just breezing through, as people do all the time, and you see a headline like, oh, my gosh, hundreds are being laid off. Oh, my gosh, General Motors closed a plant. Donald Trump said no plants would ever close. Well, come on. He's fighting to keep plants open, obviously. He's fighting to bring down the tax rate on corporations so that more corporations will flourish, quite obviously. He's trying to make it so more people are working, which they are, and getting better wages, which they are. Now, that may not impact everyone. Everyone didn't get a raise because Donald Trump got elected, but he sure is trying, it seems to me. And as Liz says, he'd like to throw a book at him sometimes and just say, shut up. You're winning on this topic. Just get out of your own way. Don't steal the news cycle for something silly that you have to post or tweet or whatever. Less is more some days, Mr. President, and I agree with that, but the dishonest reporting. The dishonest reporting is, well, it's mind-boggling. I hope Liz is right when she says that the American people are smarter than that. I believe you're smarter than that. I do. I believe that most Americans are smarter than that. I do. But it's just, when I worked for NBC News, the things that I see now, I would have been fired for the approach and the dishonesty and the things that I see. And rightfully so. And rightfully, you should be fired for that. I mean, anyhow. Speaking of economics, The Economist reacts to high numbers of New Yorkers fleeing to Florida. Now, think about this, because they're high-tax states. I just had to go over and get this, because this is an important article. I've got a couple things I here want to share with you. 63,000 New York residents moved to Florida in 2018 alone. That, according to census data. This is a big demographic story for our country. So said Steve Moore, a regular guest on this program from the Heritage Foundation. He said there are four states of the apocalypse, which I think is kind of cute. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Illinois. These states all pounding their residents with incredibly high taxes. Connecticut trying to go for more. Connecticut has more one percenters than any other state in the union. And they're trying to pound them for more. And they're saying, you know, I'm out of here. And there are several states that they're going to, Florida being one of them, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and North Carolina, the others. States where there is no personal income tax in the state. Why? Because they can keep more of what they've earned, what they've come up with, however they got there. You can buy a house just on the money you save on income taxes. That's one of the comments Moore made. He's right about that. And so when you look at the state of the economy in those four states and the economy in the other five states where people are fleeing to, Florida and Texas and Utah and so forth, and you think about this on the larger scale, you think about the fact that if Democrats are elected to the White House and take control of the United States Senate, there'll be no place to flee because some of these grandiose ideas of taxing you to death, a death tax, wealth tax, income tax increases, surcharges and fees, it'll all be coming your way. It'll be the trifecta of tax increases. And trust me, spending won't go down at all. Spending will go up. And we'll be told about all those poor people from other countries that aren't citizens that deserve to be here and deserve to get everything paid for them as well. Because somehow America has become the welfare shop for the entire world. Just pull up to the pay window. You were born. you're alive. You're a human being on the planet. Therefore, everything that we do in America, you are deserving of, and we should all pay for it, those that work in America. And the fact of the matter is you can't have open borders and free everything. You can't really have free everything, but you can have free more stuff, but not along with open borders. One will destroy the other. Milton Friedman, pretty clear. You can't have universal health care provided by the government and open immigration to all. You can't have both. It'll create a financial disaster that is very predictable. Meanwhile, other people are fleeing California for another reason. That's because of syringes, urine, feces on the streets. One woman here, Elizabeth Novak, this is an article from the Daily Mail. Interesting article. You should look it up. Elizabeth Novak said she was cleaning up syringes, urine, and feces inside her fence and on the sidewalk every single day in Sacramento. It's also happening in San Francisco and Los Angeles, struggling with homelessness and giving people the free run of the place. Here's free needles. Here's a place to set up your tent. Here's free food. Oh, you crapped on the sidewalk. Well, we're not going to arrest you for that. It's whatever. Quality of life crimes are meaningless in these liberal utopias. Meaningless. People crapping on the sidewalks and people, you know, eating, from garbage cans and sleeping on the streets. It's meaningless. City parks in some of these places have been completely overrun. You can't take your family there for a picnic. I mean, there's homeless guys and drug addicts lingering about. I mean, this is where you want to take your kids to play Frisbee? I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. Reminds me of a time my dog. We'll get to that story. 52 after on a Wednesday.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I like things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.